Good afternoon, Grace Radio listeners. Welcome once again to the Sounds of Sovereign Grace. I'm John Cardwell, pastor of Sovereign Grace Baptist Church in Anniston, and it is my privilege to join you on the radio waves this Saturday, looking into the Word of God. We are in Acts chapter 7, and Lord willing, we'll finish it up today. If not, we'll take some time the week after next and finish up Acts chapter 7 as we move along and look at what the Word of God says about the primitive church, the first century church, and its beginnings, and in its birth, and in its growth. And if you have a Bible, you might want to open up to Acts chapter 7. If you don't, if you're driving along, well, we pray that we'll be reading the Scriptures well enough that you can follow along in the study wherever you happen to be. Let's go before the Lord in prayer and then look into the Word of God. Most gracious and blessed Heavenly Father, as we take a look into your Word, we ask you, Father, to minister unto us the truths of Jesus Christ. Your Word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, and we ask you, Lord, to minister unto us the truth of the revelation of Jesus Christ in it, and that any application that we have, every application that we have, will flow from faith, faith upon your promises in your Word, but most especially faith upon Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, upon all he is, who he is, and what he has done. And we thank you for his name, and in his name we do pray. Amen. Well, let's just begin. It's 60 chapters or 60 verses in chapter 7, and let's just read it, and it'll take some time, but let's get through it so that it is in the hearing of our ears and then make some comments upon it. It says, "Then said the high priest," verse 1 of chapter 7, "Are these things so?" Well, let's make some comments right away. Are what things so? Men brought Stephen into the Sanhedrin because they have accusation against him, saying that in verse 13 is they set up false witnesses against him and then said, "This man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law." Verse 14 of chapter 6, "For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us." And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. And the high priest said, "Well, is this so?" Verse 2, and he said, "Men, brethren, the fathers hearken, the God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Haran, and said unto him, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into the land which I will show thee. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Haran, and from thence, when his father was dead, he removed him into this land wherein ye now dwell." Verse 5. "And he gave him none inheritance in it, no, not so much as to set his foot on. Yet he promised that he would give it to him for a possession and to his seed after him, when as yet he had no child. And God spake on this wise, that his seed should sojourn in a strange land, and that they should bring them into bondage and entreat them evil 400 years. And the nation to whom they shall be in bondage will I judge. And God, said God, and after that shall they come forth and serve me in this place. And he gave him the covenant of circumcision. And so Abraham begat Isaac and circumcised him the eighth day. And Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat the 12 patriarchs. And the patriarchs moved with envy sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him and delivered him out of all his afflictions and gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he made him governor over Egypt and all his house. Now there came a dearth over all the land of Egypt, and Canaan and great affliction, and our fathers found no sustenance. But when Jacob heard that there was corn in Egypt, he sent out our fathers first. And at the second time, Joseph was made known to his brethren, and Joseph's kindred was made known unto Pharaoh. Then sent Joseph and called his father Jacob to him, and all his kindred 70 souls. So Jacob went down into Egypt and died, he and our fathers, and were carried over into Sychem, and laid in the sepulcher that Abraham bought for a sum of money of the sons of Hamor, the father of Sychem. But when the time of the promise drew nigh, which God had sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt, till another king arose, which knew not Joseph. The same dwelt subtly with our kindred, and evil entreated our fathers, so that they cast out their young children to the end that they might not live. In which time Moses was born, and was exceeding fair, and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in words and in deeds. Verse 23, and when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed, and smote the Egyptian. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. And the next day he showed himself unto them as they strove, and would have set them at one again, saying, Sirs, your brethren, why do ye wrong one to another? But he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, Who made thee a ruler and a judge over us? Wilt thou kill me as thou didst the Egyptian yesterday? Then fled Moses at this saying, and was a stranger in the land of Midian, where he begat 2 sons. And when 40 years were expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in the bush. And when Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight. And as he drew near to behold it, the voice of the Lord came unto him, saying, I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Then Moses trembled and durst not behold. And then said the Lord to him, Put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. I have seen the affliction of my people, which is in Egypt, and have heard their groanings, and am come down to deliver them. And now come, I send thee into Egypt. This Moses, whom they refused, saying, Who made thee a ruler and a judge? The same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in the bush. He brought them out after that he had showed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness 40 years. Verse 37. This is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me, him shall ye hear. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him in the Mount Sinai, and with the father, our fathers, who received the lively oracles to give unto us, to whom our fathers would not obey, but trust him from them, and in their hearts turned back again into Egypt, saying unto Aaron, Make us gods to go before us. For as for this Moses, which brought us out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. And they made a calf in those days, and offered sacrifice unto the idol, and rejoiced in the work of their hands. Then, verse 42, then God turned and gave them up to worship, the host of heaven, as it is written in the book of the prophets, O ye house of Israel, have ye offered to me slain beasts and sacrifices by the space of 40 years in the wilderness? Yea, you took up the tabernacle of Moloch, and the star of your god Remphan, figures which you made to worship them, and I will carry you away before, beyond Babylon. Our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, as he had appointed, speaking unto Moses, that he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen, which also our fathers that came after brought in with Jesus into the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drave out before the face of our fathers into the days of David, who found favor before God and desired to find a tabernacle of the God of Jacob. But Solomon built him an house, howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophets, Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house will ye build me, saith the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Hath not my hand made all these things? Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom you have been now the betrayer and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. Verse 54. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. There we go. There's the defense, and we looked at that last time. There's the defense of Stephen. And as we did look on it a little bit more predominantly last time, we saw of the rejection of each one of these patriarchs that was mentioned, and even the word of God that does say that Stephen didn't mention that the chief cornerstone of the building was also rejected. So even mentioning the temple of Solomon, there was a rejection. A rejection of the temple. And Jesus Christ himself, who was, as these were all prophetic foreshadows of Jesus Christ to be rejected. So we looked at the defense of Stephen. They said that he was coming to destroy the law. No, he wasn't destroying the law. He was illuminating the law through the truth of Jesus Christ. He did say that the temple, his defense was, is that the temple was never a place to house God, and they were committing idolatry through the temple itself, rejecting he who is Lord of the temple, and that's Jesus Christ. Now, the things that we would want to look at, as we looked at last time, it was Stephen's defense. We have Stephen's doctrine, that which we'll look at in what was presented in Acts chapter 7. And then Stephen's denunciation of the Pharisees, that after he gave his defense and the doctrine therein, what is the denunciation, his indictment against the Pharisees? You know, he says in verse 51, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised of heart and ears. You resist the Holy Spirit, even as your fathers did also, meaning rejecting all those that came before. And then finally, Stephen's death. And so there's things that we can learn in each one of these. in not only his defense, but in the doctrine, in his denunciation of the Pharisees and his life and death. Now, as far as for Stephen's doctrine, he doesn't cover the gospel, so to speak, as Peter does preach in Acts chapter 2 or even in Acts chapter 3. There are things that are left out. In the one sense, he's giving a defense, but the gospel certainly can be expanded from these truths. Now, there could be a possibility that this, through the writer, as Luke is penning this, and the Holy Spirit inspiring him to actually write the words of God, did he speak more in his defense? There could be that possibility, and maybe expounded more upon this, but we're not given that insight, whether it was or not. We'll just take it at face value and see that if this is what he had said, we can take that here he is speaking to the Sanhedrin, the mighty council, the rulers of Israel. Those are the words that Jesus used of Nicodemus in John chapter 3. Art thou a ruler in Israel? Aren't you a leader? He was saying to Nicodemus, as one who is a member of the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin would have these teachers in them, Pharisees, Sadducees. These are scribes of the law, men who knew the scriptures. And so the things that Stephen presented in his defense were things that they knew, and knew many of the things underlying. We see it through the lens of the New Testament, through the illumination that Jesus Christ brings. Looking back, several of these things open up, and we're not going to cover them today. Maybe we'll have that on another time, where we could take sections of this and looking at Moses' life, looking at Abraham's life, Moses, and so forth, to present these things as Stephen brings them up with the insights. And it would be a tremendous study, and I encourage you to do that, to take those portions and with Abraham and look into Genesis, with Moses and look into Exodus, and look at those things and compare them, and taking Scripture and applying it to Scripture in order to see the truths that certainly come forth from it. There are certain things that would be omitted, say, from the doctrine as far as the gospel is concerned. Did he necessarily speak of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ? Not per se. He was only presenting an aspect of it, but we remember that prior to his being brought in, the reason that he was brought in was that he was preaching the gospel boldly. It says in Acts chapter 6 and verse 7 that the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and the great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. And it says that in verse 9 of chapter 6, then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, and the Cyrenians, and the Alexandrians, of them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and spirit by which he spake. If he is speaking by the Spirit and speaking by the wisdom of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit from the Gospel of John says that the Spirit will testify of Jesus. He will glorify Jesus. He'll bring into remembrance all things whatsoever Jesus has said. So we can assume that the gospel was being preached by Stephen at one point or another. He's preaching the gospel, and miracles are being done by great wonders, and miracles were being done among the people with his faith and power. Why? Because of what we have taught time and again throughout the weeks as we're looking at this, that the miracles were to establish, to validate, to authenticate the gospel in which they preach. Jesus performed those miracles. Therefore, we know that the word that was coming forth was true, and it was coming from God. Satan performs lying signs and wonders. But so what we see in the Bible consistently is that when the miracles came forth in an abundance, it was while Scripture was being put forth. Great miracles through Moses, but he was penning the first five books of the Bible. And as the prophets gave forth their writings were established by them certainly being those that spoke with God and heard from God and spoke for God. Same thing as it says of the church. The church in Ephesians, it says that it is the foundation is built upon the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, and that the apostles and prophets bringing forth the word, that which we have is the New Testament, which gives us a fuller understanding of the gospel within the Old Testament scriptures. They're using the Old Testament scriptures, but as the New Testament is being written, it illuminates by the Spirit that which is true of Jesus Christ throughout the entire Bible. So he brings a defense, and his doctrine is such that he brings a doctrine of rejection. And interestingly, that as they have, as Stephen says, that the forefathers have rejected these prophets prior to Christ, and as Christ was rejected by them, as they were betrayers and murderers, it says in verse 52 of Acts 7, that they have rejected him just as their fathers rejected the prophets that were before them. Now, in the doctrine also, that there it presents not only the sovereignty of God to bring these to pass, prophetically, all pointing to Jesus Christ, tying into that as far as God's providence and God's sovereignty. It shows the predestination of God in bringing forth this the prophetic details that would speak of Christ and testify of Christ. But also within the chapter, within this this defense of Stephen, it also presents the responsibility of man, that they were responsible to recognize that this was the plan of God, and that their rejection of God's plan shows their stubbornness, their obstinance, and their sin. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. That didn't remove them. Ignorance did not remove them of the responsibility to respond to God, and that God gave it very clearly, is Stephen's doctrine to them. God gave it very clearly to you. You understood this. And until this point, you know, as he brings this all to that point, then he, as he fulfills that which he has taught them from their very own scriptures of how their forefathers rejected the prophets and the word of the prophets, because they must have rejected them. If they have rejected Christ, then he brings a denunciation upon the scribes and Pharisees, the Sanhedrin, upon these that have rejected Christ. He brings his indictment upon them directly, that they were responsible for that, and that they were too stubborn to see it. And they responded in a very bitter response. They killed Stephen. Stephen's death. He was put to death. Stephen is the first martyr, as we know the word martyr to mean one who has given his life, who has died for a cause or a witness. But martyr, in the biblical sense, the word martyr comes from a Greek word which sounds very similar to martyr. We just transliterated the word for English. But it meant a witness. This was a witness. He was a witness of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said that if any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. We are told in the New Testament that we are to crucify the flesh and the lusts thereof. We are to die daily to self. And in a spiritual sense, that is the duty, the command and duty of all Christians. But there are, that the opposition that we would receive from the world as Christians, as those that believe in Jesus Christ, that believe on Jesus Christ and believe His Word from the Bible as revealed, the Word of salvation in the Gospel revealed through the Word and the person of Jesus Christ, who is Lord, King of all, ascended into heaven, ruling and reigning from heaven, through the Holy Spirit, indwelling men, redeeming them, and bringing them the truth of this gospel. This death that we are all susceptible to. We will all die until Jesus returns, because the corruptions that flow through humanity since Adam's fall, the curse of death, dying you shall die, and the day that you are disobedient to God's command, when Adam ate from the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, he died spiritually immediately, but he only lived 930 years of age, and then there was a decrease in the ages on to where we suffer physical infirmities, all die. But Jesus said, for the gospel, that because it is so opposed to the fallenness of the world, that the world would hate us because it hated Him. It said that we will have tribulation in the world, that we will have trials and difficulties, and God does work all those things together for good to them that love God. He's conforming us to the image of His Son. He is, as we're allowed to go through certain trials and tribulations, He said that we will have tribulation in the world. He says so in John 16. And it says also that we will suffer persecution. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, I believe, in verse 12. It says, yea, all those that shall live godly, yea, all those that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We're not exempt from those things. And so our witness to Jesus Christ may include one day in this country even standing up and even dying. But no one will be willing to die in that day unless you're willing to live for Christ, that He is your all. For He is all. He is Lord. We don't have to make Him Lord. He is Lord. He's Lord of lords and King of kings. And as we receive the blessedness of salvation through the truth of the gospel, we rejoice in the truth that He is Lord. Not say, well, I'm saved, and then go off in our on our merry way and do whatever it is that we want. Our wills desire now to do what is His will, to be a part, an integral part of His gospel kingdom. And so we are witnesses. We will suffer persecution. All over the world, men and women are suffering persecution for their faith. And in the last 100 years, more have died for the witness of Jesus Christ than in the last 2,000 years, some estimates say. It is becoming that, getting to that point. But we've run out of time, and we've looked at these elements, but we will look a little bit more as we go into Acts chapter 8 at the life and death of Stephen and glean some insights from that. Let us go before the Lord in prayer. Most blessed and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for the time that You've given us, and ask You, Lord, that as we see this event that has taken place and Stephen bringing defense before the Sanhedrin and the first of Your church to lose his life in a witness and defense of Jesus, of the truth of Jesus Christ, we pray, Lord God, that we may stand as sweet and lovingly as Stephen did to bring forth the truth before men that are dying. And may we preach as dying men, to dying men, the blessed news of the gospel, in Jesus' name. Amen.